This is The Pub, Straylight Magazine's podcast about all things books and publishing. I'm Dean Karpowitz.
I'm Sarah Willis.
And I'm Molly Kressel.
Today on the show, video games and character creation. All right, and to start, I pose this question to you, panel. How does the character creation process affect the story experience in a game? And is it important to us? I think it's very important to all three of us, but in general as well. So what do you all think?
Mostly yes.
I think it is entirely depends on the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all we have for today.
Well, we got to jump right in and talk about my favorite topic.
MMOs?
MMOs.
Yay!
Where you always have to create your character to varying degrees.
Yes.
So I think for a good example, I'm going to talk about something I never talk about, which is World of Warcraft. Character creation, I feel like for me, going in when I create my character, well, MMOs in particular, it's going to 100% affect your gameplay because you're picking a class.
Yeah.
So that's going to be your play style. But then if you're talking about aesthetic character creation, which I think is at the heart of your question, if I want to play a particular way, I will definitely affect the character I create. For instance, if I want to goof off and have a good time, I am always going to be a cow man. Not a cow lady. I pick the male character. Because,
why?
Is that the
because
class or the race?
So they're called Tauren, and they're basically like minotaurs.
Yeah.
And the male model is huge. It has a bigger hitbox even than other races.
Yeah.
He's hulking and gigantic. And I make all my player names milk themed.
Yes.
They're called they're Yoo-hoo the Druid and True Moo the Warrior.
But the boy cow does not give the milk.
I know. Now you're getting it. Now you're getting into my headspace. It's exactly right. When they bought paladins into the game for Tauren's, it was a race to get the player name Holy Cow.
Oh, yeah.
No, I feel like character creation, it's definitely going to affect the tone of your game. You're going to have a serious game. You're going to take it seriously. You're going to be in with the lore, or are you just going for a good time?
Mm-hmm.
So I think I may not be right. But just from playing many MMOs, it seems like the old school MMOs, when, you know, in the early days, EverQuest, the original vanilla World of Warcraft, race did matter because of the sort of bonuses you got for a particular race class combination.
Yep.
And I think hasn't that mostly gone away?
Oh,
aren't
man.
Aren't those secondary now? It's sort of like they don't want to pigeonhole you into a particular race class combo.
So I've kind of been out the game for MMOs for a while.
Mm-hmm.
For Warcraft in particular, like for Classic, if you wanted to play a particular class, you could only be so many races.
Yeah. Yep, that's how
it and
was
they
EverQuest too.
Changed that for retail. I haven't played the newest batch of retail, but even when I was playing, they took that away.
Yeah.
It wasn't entirely 100%. You could just pick your race and pick any class, but they opened it up to the point where it was nearly 100%.
Yeah. And I think that makes sense, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're always going to have people who will min-max their characters. Like, this is how I get the highest damage output.
Yeah.
And that's great. But it's also great that they don't pigeonhole you into a specific set because I think it gives you a lot more freedom as a player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then that was the whole argument with Classic moving to retail is the race class combinations made sense for the lore of the game. And people's complaints were that they were sacrificing the integrity of the lore and the story to make it more appealing to everybody.
Yes.
Okay, so now you have today, I think we're probably, you know, getting to the point where it matters less and more of those race class options are available. And you choose the Tauren for the sort of cow, for the milk references, as a good Wisconsinite should. But that's how it affects you. How does it affect the way the story unfolds? Does it?
Well,
is it the interactivity that changed? You know, because people will notice your name and, you know, you sort of have And most of that seems like it might be kind of out of character, right?
I guess it's like, what kind of game are you playing? It does suck some of the gravitas out of a really dramatic raid ending when I'm standing over the dead body of the giant boss, a cow with the name Yoo-hoo, dancing.
Yes.
And I think that's, you know, moving away from MMOs, I think you could say the same thing for like playing a game like GTA.
Yeah.
If you're going to do character creation, you can get pretty silly.
Yeah.
I haven't played, I've played multiplayer for GTA. I've never played the story. Is the story still serious in GTA? It's not, it has not gone the Saints Row voice. Row route, has it?
You know, I'm not sure. I always thought that it was a little wacky.
Is it?
I haven't played it. From talking to people who have played it, I don't think it's gone Saints Row 3.
Okay.
Which just went. Holy.
Yeah.
Free holy.
Yeah. With regard to character creation, that's one of the very few games that I took sort of massive liberties with the appearance of the character just to make them look whacked out, right? Because I think that is built into the game. That's part of what's sort of expected of people playing Saints Row 3. It's how can you out-ridiculous the boombox gun, you know, that, you know, makes everyone twerk or whatever, you know.
I think there's a similar phenomenon going on character creations for online fighting games like Tekken.
I do not play, but
I've watched my friends play, and it's just like, it is a contest to see who can really make the character creation do things that it's not supposed to do.
Yeah.
No. Move different armor parts around to make very
faces
questionable design choices, which is just a devastating thing to get beaten by then.
Yes. Yeah.
And and then you're talking about tone changes. Well, now you're taking a game that, like, Tekken's not a serious game. It's a cheesy fighting game, but I don't think it's exactly like a laugh riot.
Yeah.
But if I come in and I see some of these monstrosities people have created, that's going to affect my gameplay experience.
It is, definitely.
I think there's a whole world to open up with that, as far as even slightly off topic, but like DLC, because of course I figured out a way to work Fire Emblem Three Houses into this show.
No, I know where you're going, though, and that's a very good point.
So the third wave of DLC just came out as of yesterday. So when this airs, it will not have been that day. But it just recently came out. And I think one of the second wave gave everybody, they called it loungewear. And it's basically like pajamas, or it looks like gym clothes. And I cannot tell you how that ruined my serious moment when I had my entire group of students dressed in like basketball uniforms as we are about to storm this important fort. I was like, what do you mean? Yeah. We're going to play ball.
Mm-hmm.
It's compromised the whole tone. Mm-hmm. It shifted wildly.
So it can very affect the story depending on how your character is decked out.
Yeah.
So here's a question.
Yeah.
If given the choice, you're going to play a game and you're not looking for a certain theme, do you make yourself? Do you make an idealized version of yourself?
Or do you make something completely different and what you maybe want to be?
Yeah, there's probably like a whole psychology behind character creation and what people build.
Yeah. I can remember talking to guys who strictly make women.
Mm-hmm. I was just about to go there because there's this split, I think, with people who play with avatars of, is it me or is it just what I'm watching all day?
Yep.
I mean, but you never hear, I'm just thinking as I'm talking, people who play video games say, if they're talking about their experience, they'll say, I, you know, led the raid or did whatever. Mm-hmm. I was the healer. Not she was the healer.
Right. Not this other person.
Yeah. But I think that when you're experiencing the game, there are two different ways to approach it. Is that me or is that her? Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that speaks to, and I know we're not going to talk about silent protagonists today, but having a character who is is an actual character like Link from Zelda, that's a really different experience than playing a game where it is just an avatar I created, a person I named.
Yeah.
And I feel like what you just described, I would say, I did that with the boss battle, but it is like there is a step of removal where I might say Link did that, especially if it's something bad and it got screwed up.
Yeah.
Link, why'd you do that?
Exactly. Yes. Placing blame is a lot easier when it's not you.
I feel like when you can build your own avatar, avatar, there might be more of a closer connection to that character for some people.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And that ties in a lot with my feelings. I consulted my roommates about this because all four of them play video games. Mm-hmm. So we had a really fun discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that one of my roommates said that I really thought was an elegant way of putting it, he said, character creation is one of, if not the first interactions that you have with the game, mm-hmm. and the first agency that you're given over your character.
Yeah.
So the more customizable your character creator, the more attached I think you can potentially become to, or the more that you identify with the character that you're creating.
Mm-hmm.
And that can change the way a lot that you interact with the story.
Yeah, and that actually brings up a really good point with the new Pokemon game that, mm-hmm. sorry to date the podcast, is coming out next week.
Next week, Friday, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Really exciting.
Yes.
But something that's changed with the Pokemon franchise is, yes. it used to be a male avatar. Mm-hmm. Then they switched it where you could pick.
Are you a boy or a girl?
Right. But it was still like almost like a Link situation where they had a certain look to them. They even had a certain default name that you could pick.
Mm-hmm.
And now the new games have moved entirely over to a character creator.
And I love it.
No, I do too. I think it's amazing.
Do you know what my son named his?
What?
In Let's Go, Quirf.
I'm sorry, one more time. Was it with a Q or a K?
A Q and a W.
Quirf.
Q-W-E-R-F.
Quirf.
Quirf.
I'm going to use that.
He
had no idea. He was just pressing
buttons. Okay, I was going to say, is this a moniker I should be calling him? Because I will.
Because we came downstairs and he was playing and he messed with the, you know, the names and stuff. Blue, he changed the name to 1-1-1-1-1-1.
Nice.
So now when we play, I'm like, do you want to go fight 1-1-1-1-1-1?
Which probably changes your gameplay experience.
Right.
Yes, it does, for sure.
No, I love that they've made it a personalized avatar for, yes. Pokemon. Because then, yeah, it does feel like it's me and, yeah. not just Ash or, yeah. Red or, yeah. whoever
especially
it was supposed to be.
With the increase in connectivity that Pokemon seems to put at the forefront of their games, is that it's also very community. It's very, mm-hmm. group. It's very do it with your friends, because you can go alone, but it's better with friends.
Yeah.
Yes.
So having a distinguished looking avatar instead of everyone is Ash is a lot more helpful for identifying.
It's really in line with the show too, mm-hmm. right? You know, it's all about
Pokemon. I don't watch the show.
Being our friends and
yes.
Yes, yeah. Life,
yeah,
is
get
better
your
with
own
friends.
Style.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm a fire trainer.
They actually did a really interesting thing. So Pokemon XY, which was, I believe, the sixth generation. Mm-hmm. So only really very recently did they allow customizable protagonists for Pokemon. Only in X and Y did they introduce it, and everybody loved it. And then they released Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, which were remakes of the third generation of Game Boy Advance games, and they did not allow the character customization, and people were mad.
Right, because those are supposed to be set.
I
protagonists, I'm assuming, can't,
yeah.
compromise the.
They said, "Well, these
integrity,
are, right?" In, I guess, typical JRPG fashion, they said, "Well, this character is May, and the boy character is Brendan, and you can't change them."
Yeah,
like, I could give May a new hat. Okay, please give her a hat. She needs different pants. I don't like her pants. So I think even with set JRPG protagonists, that there are things that you can do. It doesn't have to be 100%. I can customize this character's position of their nose.
Yeah.
Character, yeah. creation. But I think even with a set protagonist, that having an option to change something about them, even if it's as little as a hat or a different outfit,
yeah.
or a different,
yeah.
armor set, can also really help connect you to that character.
Yeah.
You know, often they have dialogue that you are not privy. You are playing a character's story, and so you don't get to choose necessarily what they're saying. You are just playing out someone else's role. Being able to bridge that gap to make the connection to say, yes, I identify with this character because I gave him this hat that I like,
mm-hmm.
I think really helps engage a player in the story.
What about games like Astral Chain?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's getting really good reviews.
Yeah, it's good.
And have you played it?
Yeah.
One of the things yeah, one of the things that the reviewer said was your experience in terms of the story is vastly different if you play the male version of the character versus the female version
of
the character. Yeah. So
that's
what about games like that?
Are they saying in that the dialogue is different?
Yes, you get different choices, you get different interactions with characters.
I think it's cool when it varies so greatly like that. Like, that makes me think a lot about Dragon Age, where in an MMO or like a JRPG, you get to choose your class and you get to choose your race. And depending on the choices that you make at character creation, the world around you responds more in a different way.
Yep.
So, like, if you play an elf or you play a dwarf, you will face a lot more discrimination from the human-dominated population than if you play a human. Or if you choose a mage, you are cast under great suspicion in many different places that you go to. So it really changes the way that you see the world and the interactions that you get out of the people. So that is really well done, and that's really interesting and really cool. I would hope, I haven't seen For Astral Chain because I haven't played as a boy yet, it would be really unfortunate if they were skewing one as sort of canon over the other, giving you the illusion of a choice, saying you could play this, but the right way to play it is by playing that.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. And as you were talking about Dragon Age, that's one of the things that BioWare did really well. I can remember playing, I think it was Mass Effect 2, and romancing more than one of the women in the party to the point because I loved that I could put them in my party, Jack and Miranda or whoever, and they would argue with one another they got really catty with one another because I had taken both of their storylines up to a certain point, and they would get all
that's very dramatic.
Yeah.
All of my favorite Dragon Age Inquisition companions would just argue so much. I liked different things about all of them, and they just did not like each other. So I even several times out in the field would get dialogue options that would just appear out and say, like, guys, stop arguing.
Yeah.
It was really neat.
I just saw a screen cap, and I'm trying to figure out which game it is, about building a character and picking a trait in the beginning of the game where you have robot phobia. And then every time you interact with the robot, you get an extra dialogue option that other people don't get, where you can just scream and run away. And I really want to know what game it is.
Is it Outer Worlds?
I think it is Outer Worlds, because it sure looked like it. It looked like that or like a Fallout, but it looked kind of newer. So I'm thinking it might be Outer Worlds. I really want to play it.
It is really good. My roommates are playing it now, and they are delighted. Also, apparently it has a lot of Futurama references.
Oh, man.
So
I like that.
Yeah, you're there.
And it has a very good character creator.
I was just about to say, what is the character creator for Outer Worlds?
I haven't seen it. I keep seeing them in the middle, but I know that their characters all look very interesting and different from one another. And that it also gives you, I think, another thing that is not as much considered for a character creation is the weapons that you choose. So what your character is armed with also changes that a lot. And it has a lot of options.
What about a game like Eve, where you're a ship?
You're a ship in Eve?
You are a pilot in a ship.
Okay.
But you basically go from ship to ship, and the only thing that you got to manipulate was your icon. Everyone wanted them to add what's called ambulation, so you could walk around in stations. Right. But
is there really none of that in Eve?
There is now. There is now, because people were like...
I guess,
like,
I thought it was always like that after we played Eve.
No.
That's interesting.
So what you would create is you don't even create a ship. You go from ship to ship. And in fact, you know, you have to clone your imaginary character, because if you're in PvP and your ship gets destroyed, you get launched out in a little pod, and people can pod kill you.
Oh.
And if they pod kill you, you roll back to your last saved clone kind of thing.
Ooh, that's very cyberpunk.
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, it's very, you know, Altered Carbon. You go back to your sleeve, your previous sleeve kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, there is no real, I guess it's moot now because there is ambulation, but at the beginning of that game, you weren't creating a character per se. You were creating.
Did you have one in your mind though, Dean, when you originally started playing?
No, I think I...
Are you lying to us, Dean?
No.
No, it was just him.
Was it a space pirate version of you, Dean?
Maybe. Maybe.
What do you mean version? Be the space pirate you are in your heart.
That's right. I am already a space pirate. We need to talk about what else?
Well, we're going to talk about your character creation process.
I was going to say...
Yeah, I think we...
I honestly, almost wholeheartedly, don't believe that character creation is a bad thing, ever. I don't think... I don't think having more options inhibits the narrative. I think...
Really?
I feel like I was going to say, I'll do a little devil's advocate on that one.
Okay, let me further dig myself into this hole first. I think that there are different kinds of options that you can give that aren't interrupting. I don't think every single game should have like a totally free, you can customize every single aspect of the character, but I don't think that having options to change a character in character creation is inherently bad. There are occasions where if you get too outrageous and your character appears in a cutscene, you can play Spot the Custom Protagonist.
Uh-huh. Right.
And that can sort of take you out of the, you know, it suspends the disbelief. It takes away the immersion. You say, oh yeah, whoops, I look ridiculous if you are getting more serious in it. But for the most part, I don't think that having the option to change or modify a character from the get-go, even if it's only slightly, is a bad thing.
Well, yeah, only slightly. That's the part I would agree with. But, you know, there are certain characters that are iconic. Mm-hmm. You can't change Link. You can't change Shepard, you know.
Well, Breath of the Wild, you got a lot of different armor. But, I mean, it's all in canon armor.
Yeah.
I mean.
But armor is one of the things that is like customizing.
Yeah.
It's a different outfit. You don't have to give, I was going to say, you don't have to give Link a ponytail, but he has one in Breath of the Wild.
That's true, he does.
So you don't have to give him a different hairstyle. You don't have to, like, dye it black or whatever and wander around the countryside. But having the option to change his outfits, even if they are just mechanical.
I think it's easier to do that kind of alteration with a silent protagonist. I think if you got into a really carefully constructed cinematic game like Last of Us or something like that, where it's a very cinematic experience, the alteration becomes a lot harder.
Yeah. And as far as story is concerned, those things are still happening to Shepard. That name is being used.
Right.
Those things are still happening to Link. My experience with the game is much different when it's an MMO and I have the full reign over the way my character, or as close as I can have, the way my character is going to look and what race they're going to be and what class they're going to be and all that kind of stuff. It can take me more than one day with things like a name, you know. First of all, I pick a name that I think I'm going to, is going to be cool for this, you know, class race combo. And then, since I didn't get it on launch, or since that company's already reserved names with accounts for X many other people, the name always is taken. And so then I have to either come up with some ridiculous variation in spelling, put three Z's in it or something.
X's.
Yeah.
Underscore.
Right. Which for me, that lessens the experience.
No, there's an aesthetic to the name and the way it's going to display over your head when you're running around.
Right, right.
Yeah, I don't want to look at three Z's all the time. There's that aspect of it. And then the way the character looks, I'm sort of building the character. And Molly before the show was saying she'd play with friends and they'd be like, are you coming? Are you getting into the game yet? And she's like, no, this is an all night thing for me, guys. And that's exactly how I was. You
started up 15 minutes, say, okay, choose your name. I'm like, well, that was fun while it lasted.
Yeah.
Game over.
Yeah.
No, I think even the names is a really serious part. Whether it's serious or funny. When Classic was going to launch, I went in and I picked my server and I reserved all the names, both serious and goofy, that I wanted for particular characters, for the particular play styles that I wanted. And well, it totally is an effect.
And I think the mark of a gamer to some degree is that their main character, they pick something.
What's your tag?
Yeah, they pick something unique enough that
it's like a personal brand almost, because a lot of people have the same thing across every single platform for your username. Maybe not for your character, but for your handle.
Well, I have one.
And most of the time, those people will try and get some form of that for their character, which is strange because you can see then people that you know, you see them across games and it's like, I know that's, I know that's, you know,
that
Sakini
actually,
or whoever.
I think I saw someone on Reddit, and then I saw someone on Tumblr, and then I saw someone on Archive of Our Own, and I was like, wait a minute, I think I know that person, because their username is the same.
Yeah.
Well, especially in shared spaces like MMOs or any kind of online game, if you have a particular character that looks a certain way or does certain things to become infamous... I feel like there were usernames that became part of like the lore of servers.
Sure.
Leroy Jenkins.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a huge good example.
Yeah.
Jenkins is a title you can get in World of Warcraft now.
Yeah.
Although I heard that was fake. Was that fake?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I've not played it. No, I have no idea. Maybe
we'll have to do some research.
Maybe you've been hoodwinked.
I feel like Leroy Jenkins was it was supposed to be an organic found footage sort of thing.
Let us know in the comments, please.
I think it was not like made by Blizzard, but I think the whole thing was like scripted.
Yeah. But you're right. Especially in PvP games, there are people that gain notoriety mm-hmm. and their name becomes renowned mm-hmm. Throughout the server. And sometimes from one server to the next, mm-hmm. people know mm-hmm. Of this person because they have, you know, they can't be beaten. They've killed 500 people or they, you know, they camp their spawn spots and they're real jerks or whatever.
I feel like that was always a big thing in Battlegrounds playing online where you'd get the rosters at the end of the game and you'd see that name at the top and that person's giving you trouble the whole time and you're like, oh, and it always is some stupid name. I mean, you feel so salty.
Yes, yes. And that's the other thing, the kind of last thing I wanted to talk about is what can you tell? Like, so the story experience may be a little bit different. The experience for you may be a little bit different, but how about seeing other people's names and their avatars? You know, what can you tell about them? So my big example was in any MMO, you can tell, or sandbox game, you can tell who the griefers are going to be by the way they've created their character.
Mm-hmm. Generally.
Right? They'll have really long arms and or long legs. Mm-hmm. They'll be completely deformed. And you know, when they enter the scene, havoc is about to begin, mm-hmm. right? They're going to be teabagging, you know, in the zone or whatever the case may be. And that, I think, changes the story experience tremendously. Because most of the time, at least for the griefers, they're trying to break the narrative. They're trying to break the game, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, and especially there's this divide when you're playing online between immersing yourself in the lore of the game and acknowledging that you're playing a game. Mm-hmm. So
with other human beings.
Yes. Yeah, and the whole meta of it. And there's something to be said when you come into like a raid and it's very cinematic and you do feel like this sort of pride and importance and the scene setting and everyone kind of, not, I don't play role-playing servers uh-huh. per se, but yep. everyone kind of gets into like a serious mood because
yep.
you do like the grandiose feeling.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden someone joins the party who you know on the server is a raid breaker.
Yeah.
And they come in and it's shattered.
Yeah.
Who invited them?
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's the other end of the spectrum where you do have the people that are really intense. Mm-hmm. I'm sure all three of us think of us as sort of the middle ground, the sane moderate, right?
But then probably.
Then there are those people who are like, this is my life.
Oh,
I've devoted my life to this. Mm-hmm. I have my founder's tag over my head. Mm-hmm. I have purchased the 6,000 platinum steed, you know, mm-hmm. to show mm-hmm. off, right? And you know, I prance through the raid. What about the experience with those people?
That's just not fun. I don't like to play with those people.
She looked, her face just kind of dropped.
So forlorn, drooped.
Yeah.
Like you have some terrible experience that you harken back to.
I don't play a lot of MMOs or really any, but I immediately thought of I play on my phone Dragalia Lost, which is the new Nintendo mobile IP, and it's a little bit more intense. It's got a lot of game in mm-hmm. it for like a free mobile game. Very in-depth, very neat, very mm-hmm. interesting mechanics, very interesting world, but it has some PvP sections or some cooperative sections where sometimes you go in with people and like, I'll be honest, I don't really know what I'm doing and I'm sorry about that. I'm auto-picking all my teams. I'm using the people that I like, not mm-hmm. the ones that are best for like the raid or whatever. And we will go into places and someone will maybe go down or something. People are hunting achievements and immediately I mess up and everybody has the stickers of, oh God, why? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm doing my best. Yeah. Don't yell at me, please.
Yeah. I mean, I think the experience, even for those people, is very limited.
Mm-hmm.
They can only have in-depth conversations about the game with people who are as crazy as they are.
Like at that point, are you even playing the game?
Yeah.
Or are you just winning the game?
You're living the game.
Yeah. That's too much for me.
Yeah. Well, that's all the quirf we have for today. The Pub is produced at the University of Wisconsin Parkside from the studios at WIPZ 101.5 FM. You can tune in Sundays at 2 to catch new episodes. You can also find us on Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. Or you can head over to our website at straylightmag.com for fiction, poetry, art, and of course, podcasts. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for regular updates on new content. Until next time, thanks for listening to The Pub, Straylight Magazine's podcast about all things books and publishing.